Speaking of never knowing what's going to happen in the NFL, our guy Rick Stroud joins us. Rick has been on with us before. He's with the Tampa Bay Times. He's a fellow Arkansas State University grad, so he's a fine journalist, one of the best that there is in the league. And, Rick, I got to say, if you'd come to us a couple of weeks ago and said, not only is Tom Brady not coming to Tennessee, he's going to Tampa Bay, we might have had a hard time believing you, but here we are, and that's what happened.
I tried to hint at it about a week ago pretty strongly. I mean, I kind of known they were going to go all in on this guy, and of course, you know, the Chargers did as well. But Bruce Arians and you know, Jason Light, they had a pretty good inkling to whatever contacts they have with people around Brady down in D, who knows, that he was serious about leaving the Patriots. And, you know, you've got to give them credit for pursuing him. Now, you know, there's a lot of reasons why he came. It does seem just completely, you know, what is the opposite of the Patriots? You think of the Bucs not having made the playoffs in 12 years. But they actually have some really good talent down here from a football standpoint. You got two 1,000-yard receivers, you know, really talented tight ends. And, you know, the defense that improved the last 6 to 8 weeks that's young and growing, I think those are you know, reasons to be optimistic. If you could find a quarterback, of course, anyone. Mike Brady was seemed ridiculous in the beginning, but you know, they made it happen, and it's been. They're still waiting for him to sign on the dotted line. We had a physical today, sometime in New York, and yeah, once this is done, it's going to certainly change. You know, the way the Bucs have done business. I mean, suddenly they become one of the most relevant franchises in the league.
There's talk, you know, just talking heads out there that are saying, oh, Bruce Arians, Brady doesn't really fit what he wants to do. What is Arians' take on that quarterback position and him adapting what he does to what his quarterback does?
Well, I think that anybody that was going to take Tom Brady, much like Peyton Manning when he went to the Denver Broncos, you know, Derek Kubiak had to change his offense a bit. And the decision is going to be, you know, do you have Tom Brady learn this offense and then make tweaks along the way to suit what he wants to do? Or do you try to teach, you know, 22 other guys, you know, that are at different stages of their career, Tom Brady's offense? And so I would guess that Brady's already got the playbook, that he's diving into it pretty heavily here. He's going to have to get with his receivers when you know, all this coronavirus stuff is hopefully over, if there is any time before training camp. And you know, that, and that's going to be the hardest thing. I talked to Joe Montana yesterday. He said, you know, going from San Francisco to Kansas City, the tough thing was getting used to the different teammates and especially the receivers. So there's going to be a lot of adjustments, but I think, you know, Bruce Arians has had these celebrity Hall of Fame type quarterbacks, whether you're talking about Manning, you know, early on, or Ben Roethlisberger, or Andrew Luck, or, you know, Carson Palmer at his late stage of his career. So he knows how to handle these guys, and without BA, I don't think this happens. I think, you know, you know, obviously Brady did a lot of research, and in addition to the talent, I think the coach-quarterback relationship is so important. So they'll make it work. You know, they'll obviously streamline it to what Brady wants to do, and I think they'll go from there.
Rick, I'm curious, what was the talk in the Tampa market? Because it just seemed like the Titans were in it, the Chargers were in it, the Raiders were in it. There was a lot of talk in all of those markets. While that was going on, was there talk in the Tampa market that Brady would end up there?
Yeah, again, I mean, you know, I cover the team, so I've been writing about it for a little while, but I think if you handicapped it, it would have been, you know, most people would believe that if Tennessee really wanted him, you know, with a relationship and former teammate Mike Vrabel. But the more people you talk to, they said that, you know, they were very all in on Ryan Tannehill, and for good reason. So, you know, look, they made it to the AFC Championship game. He had a really good year, and he's a young quarterback. So when that went away and it became obvious, you know, they were going to go back to Ryan, I think that, you know, now you're looking at really the Chargers and the Bucs. And geography certainly is important here because, you know, Tom has his oldest son that lives in New York from a previous relationship, and you know, his wife and him travel to Miami and South America frequently. So, you know, staying on the East Coast, I think, was an advantage that the Bucs had, in addition to things like no state income tax, and it's a beautiful place to live. So,
There were some advantages there, but again, I think the football team, the talent on this football team, especially on offense, and then Bruce Arians and that coaching staff, including Todd Bowles, has done a really nice job on defense, and he's familiar with Todd, of course, when he was with the New York Jets. So, you know, all those things, it seems, again, antithetical that he would be coming, but instantly, you know, the tickets started flying off Ticketmaster. There was 7,000 person waiting line, you know, on there, and it's been crazy, and yet we really haven't officially gotten word that he signed his contract yet.
on top of it, Rick Stroud here with us, Tampa Bay Times. On top of it, Adam Schefter reporting that there are numerous players that have now reached out to the Bucks that want to join the team with the news of Tom Brady heading to Tampa. Have you heard that as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think their goal is to try to keep this defense intact, and they've done that by franchising Shaq Barrett and re-signing Jason Pierre-Paul. They want to get Ndamukong Suh back. They have a receiver they like in Breshad Perriman. I don't know what his situation will be, but they have the third most cap space, and you know, they're still sitting here with I don't know, $50-60 million. And after they sign Brady, depending on the structure, we'll still have some money. They'll restructure some other deals, I'm sure, of some guys. But of course, this would be a destination, and you know, for good reason. But even failing Brady, I mean, it's still you know, a team that has cap space, number one. So obviously, you want to try to get their attention, and then you know, most state of contracts, a really good coaching staff, their head coach to play for, and then, you know, here comes the GOAT. So who doesn't want to catch passes from Tom Brady?
Rick Stroud, our guest from the Tampa Bay Times. So, you know, we saw Marcus Mariota pull up stakes and leave town. He'll forever be linked to Jameis Winston. I know Jameis has been linked to the Redskins by some, but what do you think the future is for that guy, Rick?
I mentioned the Redskins only because I know Doug Williams, and, you know, Doug's always had an affinity for Jameis, and I don't know where Jameis is going to go. It's disappointing, I'm sure, for him. You know, being a number one overall pick, he was a passing leader last year in yards. He had 30 touchdowns, but you couldn't get away from the 33 interceptions, the 5 lost fumbles, the 120 points scored off his turnovers. Probably made that team from, you know, 7-9 to where it should have been, at least 10 or 11 wins. And, you know, this has been his career from the beginning. His first pass in the NFL was a pick six. I know you remember it against Tennessee, Marcus Mariota's debut down here. And his last throw, as it turns out, with the Bucs was also a pick six in overtime that lost the game against Atlanta. And in between, there's a lot of ups and downs, both on and off the field. And the guy has talent. He's still a young player. He can absolutely throw the ball hard. He works his butt off, but, you know, he has a problem protecting the football. And, you know, there are always going to be more quarterbacks than there were starting jobs, and that's where he's at right now. Marcus goes out, and, you know, he's going to back up Derek Carr in Las Vegas and John Gruden, and he might get an opportunity if Carr falters. But I think Jameis is going to have to do the same thing. He's going to have to find a place where either, you know, there's a young quarterback that they're not real sure of, a wobbly starter. I thought maybe Chicago would be that place, but I mentioned Washington without knowing who he's talked to, only because, you know, that Dwayne Haskins, who's just in his second or third year, and again, Doug Williams was in this spot that Jameis Winston was in. They wanted Doug Williams, not for enough money, ended up going to the USFL, and then got hurt, and then ended up in Washington with Joe Gibbs, and of course came in and won the Super Bowl, but he knows that can happen in Tampa, and like I said, I think that might be one spot. Who knows where he'll ultimately line up? But, you know, he's also had a torn meniscus in his knee. You know, he's had a broken thumb. Teams are going to want to see these players and do physicals themselves on them, especially if there's been injuries involved. And this is a difficult thing at this time is, you know, with the coronavirus, you have to use an independent physician. And I think, you know, with Jameis, there's other issues, too. You want to sit down and talk to him. He's going to be potentially a face of your franchise or your quarterback. You want to know where he is personally and professionally. So I think, you know, that might be some of the things that's holding him back right now until that secondary, you know, quarterback market develops. And now you got Joe Flacco in the mix as well, plus the quarterbacks like Andy Dalton who might become available through trade.
Hey, on the way out, Rick, and we got about 30 seconds, Antonio Brown has been linked to Tom Brady. Do you think that the Bucs locker room is ready to absorb Antonio Brown, or do you think that's really part of this deal?
as beat writers that cover the team aren't ready to absorb Antonio Brown, I can tell you that. But listen, you know, Bruce Arians had him 2 years in Pittsburgh. Just quickly, he said last year he thought he was too much of a diva now. That's not a good endorsement. We'll see what Tom Brady wants to do. They have good receivers. There's other ones that are out there. I don't see it as a fit. And plus, he's got to go to the commissioner and figure out if he's allowed to play first.
All right. Rick, hey, thanks so much. I know it's a busy time. For people who want to know all the latest on this, follow Rick on Twitter at NFL Stroud. Thank you, my friend.
Go Wolves, man. Take care.
All right. Always go Red Wolves. When we come back, there is a message from Jarrell Casey, a very heartfelt message that you will want to hear. Also, we have a question for you regarding Brady versus Belichick and you having to pick a side. We'll do all that and more when we come back. 3HL brought to you and powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
Sharing is